ran up on the hill about 12 o'clock. Reached right back and got me a poke. Went to the hard one, got me a hook. Placed that line right on that hook. Said, you've been fishing all the time. I'm going to fish you too. I bet your life, your loving wife, catch more fish than you. Any fish bite, got good bait. Here's a little something I've let you lay. Any fish bite, got good bait. I'm going to fish you. Yes, I'm going to fish you. I'm going to fish you too.
This is the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad.
Hello, everyone, and welcome this week again to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish Radio is brought to you by Cats on the Red of Lockport, Manitoba, Trophy Cat Adventures right here in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and Today's Tackle, the manufacturer of the Ice Buster Bobber and the Rod Rocker 2. Well, folks, due to some extenuating circumstances here in the North Country, I have been put solo because my trusty co-host Brad had to do some open water fishing in northern Minnesota, which is just flat out unheard of up here in this time of January. But that's no problem because I was fortunate to get a guest that we've had here on Why Fish Radio before, Rob Horkin, a.k.a. Ernie the Angler. Rob, how you doing? Welcome back.
Pretty good, Brad. Nice to be with you again.
Awesome. Well, we've got some things that have just kind of plummeted into us here as far as safety concerns, and we've been kind of touching on them all winter, but you know, ice safety is becoming a pretty big issue all of a sudden because we just can't seem to get away from this 25 to 30 degree weather in January when it should be 0 to 30 below. And, you know, it's starting to cause some problems. I know just this past weekend you were out and had some slush trouble.
Well, it really was nasty out there, and I had every intent of finally getting my permanent house out on our little lake by Park Rapids, and decided that, well, the only way to get it out is, first of all, to plow our little road. So I had my plow on my four-wheeler and headed out and got out about 100 feet and all of a sudden realized that I was starting to get pretty stuck and looked down, and lo and behold, I'm in about 6 inches of slush, and just raised the plow up and turned around and headed back. I hate to just admit the fact that I chickened out, but I did. We happened to be on a spring-fed lake, and you know, you definitely want to be able to see where you're going out there, and safety is you know, certainly a key. Something that, you know, a lot of people really don't think about is that when conditions are like this, you know, you try to find you know, an area that does have hard ice on it. And one of the things I realized is that, you know what, it's doggone slippery out there. And you don't think about it, but for us guys who are over 50 now, you know, taking a dump on the ice is certainly going to smart.
I hate to break this to you, but ice generally is slippery.
Yeah. But I mean, this was like glare ice. It was not roughed up at all, and slippery is sometimes slipperier than other times. Let's put it that way.
All right, I'll give you that one. But you know, where should your ice be at the lake you hang out on by now? 2 feet?
No, ours normally gets to about 16 to 18 inches at the thickest, coldest time of the year. You never had to use an extension on an auger or anything like that, but you know, right now it was at about 11.
And where I hang out primarily on Devil's Lake, we should be pushing 2 feet right now, and we're maybe a hair over a foot. And that's just not safe enough to be driving trucks. And they're starting to drive just because it's that time of year, and that's just not safe. I see you have a chart here that's got some safe depths, so why don't you...
You bet.
Tell the listeners some of these safe areas.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I would suggest getting on the internet and printing one of these out for yourself, and maybe keeping it with you, because you know, you always think, gosh, is 3 inches safe, or do you need 6 inches, or what do you exactly need? Well, you know, according to this particular chart, 2 inches is not safe for anything. You need at least 3 to start walking out there. When you get to about 5 inches of ice, you can start fishing with, you know, a group, 6 inches. Supposedly you can take an ATV or a snowmobile out. You need about 9 inches of ice for a light car and about 11 inches for a light pickup. Obviously, if you get into that 14 to 16 inches, you should be able to pretty much drive anything out there, short of a tank, of course, but as far as a regular vehicle goes. I think one of the things that a lot of people forget sometimes is that ice conditions are going to vary on a particular lake. You know, you might be standing on 14 inches of ice in one spot and 6 inches of ice on another and maybe 2 inches of ice at yet another. So I think being cognizant of the fact that ice conditions change right on one body of water is something that people need to always keep in mind.
Well, another thing that people tend to forget about is that an ice sheet is floating, and if you drive too fast, you actually do create a wave, which could break the ice in front of your travels, and that's not going to help you out much either. I've actually seen a guy cause this with an ATV on, I don't know, I believe it was 4 to 5 inches of ice, and it actually did break up the ice. He was going so fast across it. And, you know, same thing goes with trucks or anything that you can think of when the ice is a little iffy as it is now.
Well, I've, you know, also been on Lake of the Woods, and what exactly caused this particular phenomenon to happen, I'm really still not sure to this day, but we were fishing with in an area where there had to have been at least 100 ice houses. It was just a nice little village. And we're sitting in the ice house, and all of a sudden it sounded like a jet was flying over the top of us. And for just a split second, everybody in our ice house got nauseous. It lasted maybe three or four seconds, but everybody kind of had that same feeling, and didn't really feel anything other than that. But all of a sudden we got out of the ice house and realized that everybody else was out of their ice houses as well. And we found later that about a 2 mile section of ice had shifted, and it had to have been very similar to what you feel when you're in an earthquake. But it was just really a weird feeling. And what caused it, I don't know if it was you know, an overload of vehicles or what it was, but it was definitely scary. Obviously, a 2 foot area of ice is nothing that, you know, is going to be a danger unless, of course, you're standing right on the edge.
Well, that's always a problem when you're standing on the edge. I mean, that's like if the earth opened up and swallowed you.
Exactly.
Well, the bottom line, folks, is ice safety. We're in a little hairy time up here in the North Country. I know we got a lot of listeners up in Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, even Wisconsin, I hope, but that's, you know, something to keep in mind. I mean, there's been a lot of cars starting to break through, and, you know, conditions don't seem to be shaping up. I mean, I talked to Brad on his way up north today to do this story, and he said that 5 years ago on this date, he fished the same spot in 12 inches of ice that they're going to be in a boat this afternoon.
And I believe it.
And January 10th, to have open water in northern Minnesota on the Canadian line is just unheard of, so be safe out there, folks. But I want to take a couple seconds here and remind everybody, we got this guided trip we give away every year from Kent over at Trophy Cat. Rob, you've met Kent a few times. He seems to know what he's doing, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And all you got to do to win this thing, we're going to give it away in May. You can enter once a week. All you got to do is send an email to contest@whyfishradio.com. Give me your name, address, and telephone number, and I'll put you in for the drawing. It's just that easy. Another thing we got going on is last week we asked you guys what a jumper was. We happened to come up to it in conversation where some Canadian fishing guides said they like to fish with spinning spoons and jumper. And we came up with to send us an email at the contest website, contest@whyfishradio.com, and tell us what a jumper is. And I haven't got a right answer yet, but whoever can come up with one.
I even know what a jumper is.
Yeah, because I told you.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We've got a package of some Today's Tackle goodies that we'll send out to you just for telling us what it is. But apparently we got a stumper here, so send that email in. We'll look forward to it. We're kind of moving on. A couple minutes left. Rob, you got any good kids fishing tips we can give out to the listeners?
Well, you know, ice fishing is a good way to introduce kids to the sport. One reason is that, you know, you can bring a football along, have snowball fights out there, all kinds of neat stuff like that, and also catch some fish. Panfish have been hitting well. We were out over the weekend, as we talked earlier. The crappie bite started at about 5 o'clock and went for a couple hours, and it was fast and frantic. And that's one of the things that you really want to do, whether it's winter fishing or summer fishing, is make sure that you get kids on some fish. That's going to be the important way to get them to like the sport, and don't keep them out there too terribly long.
Well, you know, that's one of the good things about the warm weather we've had. For the most part, if you're careful with the ice and walking or just keeping your head about you, it's perfect because they're not going to get cold and want to go home right away. And on the other hand, you don't have to keep them bundled up in the house in the close quarters. You can actually put them outside and let them run.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, my neighbor and his two girls were out there in fifth and sixth grade, and we just had a dandy snowball fight because fishing hadn't quite started yet. And when it did, man, I'll tell you what, those two girls had a blast, and the snowball fight before was something that I, of course, lost again, but it was great, great sport.
Is that age thing kicking in? You just can't move, or are they just that good of aim?
I think it's a combination of age and size.
Well, I'm about the same size as you. I don't know if I'm much quicker, but oh, well, we'll give it even. So, any good plans for fishing in the near future you want to tell everybody about?
I am actually going to head back up to Lake Country, hopefully in a couple of weeks. And sometime in February, you and I are going to go up and chase some of those crappies around and maybe set some tip-ups up and see what happens.
And hopefully get some video of that and lots of other good things coming up. Rob, as always, it's good to have you join us here because you're always good for a conversation. And I'm fortunate enough to get in on those just about every day of the week with you. So
always a pleasure, Brad.
Well, folks, don't forget to sign up for the Trophy Cat Adventures giveaway in May. Contest at whyfishradio.com. Tell me what a jumper is because I want somebody to get this right and win that prize. And I want you to also remember our sponsors. Book Cats on the Red, book Trophy Cat Adventures. And since it's ice fishing season, look up Today's Tackle. They've got some really revolutionary stuff out there this year. But that's going to do it for this week. So in the words of Brad, keep your hook in the water, your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
You have been listening to the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad. For more information, log on to our website at why-fish.com.